Overcoming Children's Ministry Mediocrity. Some of you were here the previous session. Your speaker is Beth Fabian, who is commander of our Awana program here at Faith Baptist Church. So if anybody knows about children's ministry, it's Beth.
Thank you. All right. I guess I better get the right handout. All right. Well, thank you for those of you who stayed for the second portion, and for those of you who joined us for the second portion. So, if I walk up here and restart, well, I'm glad you guys came today. So, so how are you doing? You doing all right?
Yes.
Doing fine? Good. All right. Yeah, I'm not talking to you. No. Or I could walk up here and say, I am really glad that you came to my workshop today. I am not so glad that it's being recorded. But I'm really glad that you came to my workshop and to learn more about overcoming children's ministry, what I call mediocrity. The longer you've been doing something, what happens? Oh, I know how to do that. Man, I know how to do that. Okay. And then I know how to do that becomes, it's 6:30, 10 more minutes. We got to start. It's 6:40. Oh, okay, 6:40. Only an hour and 50 minutes left to go. Okay. Now, I will admit to you, because I have to be honest, it's its own recording. There are nights that I watch the clock, okay? There are nights that you watch the clock, okay? But try to do it without the kids noticing that you're watching the clock, okay? Try to be very excited that you are there with the kids and be excited for those kids that have come that night. Think about it this way. What if March the 16th, that'll be tomorrow night. Most of you will be back. Do you get anybody have club on Wednesday night? Children's ministry on Wednesday? Okay, a few of us. So whatever your next, what night do you guys?
Thursday
night. Any other nights represented?
Sunday.
Okay, I didn't want to miss anybody. Okay, I didn't want you getting away with not being excited. No. The next time you meet, Wednesday, Thursday, or Sunday, what if that is the only time one of those children will be in your church and in your club?
Yeah.
It happens. It happens a lot. I think back this past year, we had a sixth grade girl, very, very excited, rode her bus, sixth grade, extremely excited to come. She got saved first night, was very enthusiastic about the fact that she got saved. She was telling us. They moved that week. You never know.
Yeah.
And if that's our bad night, okay, we could probably just dismiss the workshop right there. But is it important to reach children? Well, if you read those passages that I put down here, it certainly was important to the Lord Jesus. When his disciples, because they were tired, probably hungry, probably sick of the crowds, they're like, we don't want these kids. Take these kids. Get these kids out of here. We all have some people who don't like children in our church, and hopefully they don't work in your children's club. But if they do, whoever's in charge needs to help them find another ministry. But no. The Lord Jesus did. He loved children. And he said, suffer the little children to come unto me. And please take time to read the passages. Okay? We don't have time to read all of it here. But don't take the disciples' attitude of, Let's put the kids in over in that room, and we're going to have adult class in here, and we're just going to be, okay? Make the kids important. The most important aspect, and I'm going to go through this quickly for those of you who just joined us this second time. I'm going through points 1 and 2 very quickly, but it is the vital part because I kind of belabored it in the first workshop. The most important aspect of your service in children's ministry, barring any other, is prayer. And I am making the assumption that we've all trusted Christ as our Savior. Okay? Making that assumption. The most important aspect of your service in children's ministry is prayer. Prayer can move you from mediocrity to excellence on the night when you don't feel excellent. Okay? But the Lord Jesus can give you that strength, that energy. You can crash when you get home. Okay? I coached ball for many years. Hey, that injury can hurt when the game is over. But right now, just now. Well, I did say that. I shouldn't say that. I never said that. Read through those points under prayer. Very important. And I emphasized previously to pray specifically. Don't just pray in generalities. Okay? Read and study God's word so that you grow spiritually. Sometimes, you know, we work so much in the handbooks for the kids or the lesson that we're teaching for the kids, and we miss our own spiritual growth, which is extremely important. Okay? Here is something, if you've not been convicted by Philippians 4:9 before, probably you just haven't read it. Paul says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Now that's pretty powerful. Can I get up in front of you and say that? No. Okay? In the kitchen today? No. But that should be our goal. What we should be able to say to these kids that we work with, our children, those things which you see in me and you've learned from me, because we're teaching them from the Bible, do those things. It's pretty convicting. When's the last time the Lord spoke to you through his word? We talked about this in the first workshop. Proverbs chapter 1, you have to seek wisdom. It's not just handed to you. You don't just read the Bible and get wisdom. You study the Bible. And we need to pass both of these on to our young people. As parents, as children's ministry workers, we need to pass on the importance of prayer and Bible study. Okay? Teach your children to know, love, and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. In the first workshop, I kind of wish they had been the other order. We talked about discipleship. So they're learning more about knowing God. They've trusted Christ as their Savior. We are doing one-on-one discipleship, so they're knowing God. Beyond that, then, the emphasis of our ministries, be it Sunday school, junior church, whatever kind of children's club that you run or children's program that you run, whatever it is, make sure that you're teaching the kids to know, to love, and to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Our ultimate goal is what? We don't want the kids dropping off after sixth grade or in sixth grade, going to teen group, and being there for a week or two, dropping off. We don't want that. Or a year, 2 years. We don't want them leaving teen group and we never see them again. So we have to emphasize all of these, the three, know, love, and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible does make a promise. Usually we take this as parents. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. But today, let's take it from a children's ministry worker side. Train up these children in the way they should go. And what does the Lord promise? When they're old, they will not depart from it. I have one that I'm waiting to get old, so he'll get back. The most important decision that these children are going to make, the most important decision is to trust Christ as their Savior. Then, after that, they need to learn to love and serve Him for life, and that comes in Deuteronomy. It should be the parents' responsibility. The Lord gave the responsibility to parents. With our culture, that is a breakdown. If, as Christian parents, sometimes we get so busy with all the outside activities that we're distracted, and we're not emphasizing the spiritual side of things to our kids, and we're not teaching them. Okay? So as Christian parents, we need to get on the ball. As children's ministry workers, we need to act. I shouldn't say act as a parent, but you know what I'm saying. We need to take the time that we have, the 3 or 4 hours a week, maybe 6 at the most, a week, and really use that time to teach them. Not just fun and games, but use that time to teach them the meat of God's Word and the importance of it. Teach them to put on the whole armor of God. Over the last year, there's been a number of things that has emphasized this to me. As you know, we hear that all the time, Ephesians 6:1. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand the fiery dart. I shouldn't have even started on that. Ephesians, okay, this is bad. I have to look. When I get nervous, I don't think of things here. 6:11. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And it goes on. Now, since the video camera left, I'll do this. What do we typically do with our kids? And this could have been in the first one. But typically with our kids, this is my son's. We teach them, we think, oh, they've got the helmet of salvation. Don't want to mess up my hair. Okay? They've got the helmet of salvation. Hey, look at that. I am protected. I've got the helmet of salvation. Well, yeah, that protected the top of my head and messed up my hair. But what about are you not vulnerable? There's a whole lot of other places where that Satan can attack. And trust me, he knows where to attack. So don't just be satisfied with grasping the child and giving the, you know, out of hell, so they have eternal life. That's important. But don't just leave it there. Don't just give them the helmet of salvation. Let's give them the whole armor of God. And how are you going to get that? Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Teach them to put on the whole armor of God. We as adults need this. What, Mr. Pointer, what time is this one over? What time is this one over?
3:00.
At 3:00. Okay. All right. Small groups work better for teaching verses and handbook sections. All right. We do this on Wednesday nights during our club. We'll have 3 to 5 at the most. 5's too many, but 3 to 5 working with in the handbooks. All right. I want to go on. Let me go ahead and point this book out. I'm going to have this on the table. I have the only table out there in the corner that does not have a really nice banner. Okay? I found out 2 days ago that we would have a table, and I have hired Pastor Wall for free to help me next year have a banner for the table. This is an excellent book on spiritual warfare, and I'm just going to mention it now while we're on Teach Them to Put on the Whole Armor of God. This is not one that for the kids, okay? This is one for you. Spiritual Warfare, it's by Dr. Carl Payne, but it tells us how we're attacked in three ways: by the world, by the flesh, and by the devil. And I have this on the very back, so you can see on the resources. Excellent material in this for combating and becoming an offensive Christian. Now, not offensive, okay? We don't want to be offensive. But on the offensive, rather than constantly being on the defense, okay? But fighting Satan, it's a real battle, and it's a daily battle. It's not a battle that you win one time and you've arrived. Okay? And it is a battle that our young people are fighting way, way earlier than we did. And I know you guys know that because you're in children's ministry. Excellent material, and it will help you when you're working with these kids. Some do's and don'ts that I have learned over a couple of years. All right? Study and memorize the handbooks along with your children. Jim back here has finished all of the handbooks for 3rd to 6th grade. And he spends a lot of his time teaching the 3rd grade boys during their handbook time. And he knows the material, and he knows the meanings of the verses, the meanings of the words. It's an excellent way, one, for you to grow spiritually yourself, but two, you're prepared to answer questions that the kids are going to have in that section. If I open up my lesson the night I, you know, right before I walk into the handbook time, wonder what that means. I hope they don't ask me that. I hope they don't ask me what that means. You know? Okay. It's really good to study ahead, and it's really good for you spiritually, and it's good for the kids to see, hey, you know, Mr. Jim, he passed a book? I didn't know adults did that. So automatically, what does it do? It makes it important to the young people that you're working with. So takes you from mediocrity to excellence. Don't serve out of duty or guilt. One of two things. If you're serving out of duty or guilt, those of you that are in here from my church, don't take this seriously. No, I'm just kidding. Just quit. If you're there because you feel guilty or it's duty, you're not there for the right reason. Okay? So don't serve out of duty or guilt. Serve because you love the kids and you want every child to know, to love, and to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't major on numbers and statistics. I think we have gotten beyond this. We had 10 saved in our Awana clubs this year. Well, we had 15. Does it matter? If we had one child trust Christ as Savior, it's worth it all. What if we go a year and there are no children trust Christ as Savior, but maybe 3 decide that they're going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ the rest of their life? Or one decides. You never know who you're working with, okay? And we may not live long enough to know who we're working with, but I constantly think back to D.L. Moody. What if we're working with this generation's D.L. Moody? Is it important for me to be faithful and at my best all the time? We never know when the D.L. Moody of today is going to come through our doors. Don't be a clock watcher like I am right now. No. Don't be a clock watcher. Is it time to ring the bell? Well, that's our biggest thing. Because we need to just have one person assigned to be clock watcher, because you do have to stay on schedule, okay? I understand that. But if you're like, 5 more minutes, we can go home. I'm not so bad if you say 5 more minutes, we can go home. But 5 more minutes, these kids will be gone. That's the wrong attitude, okay? Really is. So work on that. Even if you have to fake it some nights, because I know you do, because I do. Who in your church makes the best prayer warriors? The majority of the time, it's the elderly. And it's our shut-ins. We have some shut-ins who pray for our leaders by name. If I've had older people come up and say, yeah, I wish I could do something. I wish I could do something for Awana. Probably they come to you. I wish I could do something for Master's Club. Or I wish I could do something for Bible Club or Sunday School. You can. Pray. Oh. I could do that. And better yet, when you say, hey, pray. Oh, okay. Here's your list. You know, say, hey, we are having major trouble with these two clubbers. Like, they get together, there's a fight. Okay. So we spend all of our energy doing what? Use it over there. You go in that room and work with him. All right, well, let's see if Mr. Jim can work with... Let's see if Kyle can... somebody's got to be up. We spend all of our energy trying to solve the situation. Prayer, because why? What's the resource? Jesus Christ. He can calm... he calmed the storm. He can calm the child. So pray. And if you have some particularly challenging children... In your next leaders meeting or workers meeting, as long as they're not one of your church members' kids. Sometimes you do have to be discreet on naming these children. But get a prayer warrior and say, hey, we need you to pray for such and so-and-so. Pray that the Lord will get a hold of their heart. You'll be amazed. Behavior, it's like, whoa. What happened to you? Why are you behaving? You know, the prayer changes many things. How to get up on that? This is just in case you're in charge of your club or your junior church. Don't make a public plea for workers. Approach people individually. And what I told the first group, I do. I watch people. I watch for faithfulness in church first. I always go to our pastor second and say, hey, is it okay if I ask so-and-so to work in Awana or to work in Bible school? Yes. No, maybe you better not right now. Okay. And you have, your pastor is going to have more insight into people. And after that, if he says yes, I approach. There are some people who I have approached for like 5 or 6 years, and I go every year, and they're like, oh, man. I said, hey, I'm just going to keep asking until you say yes. But just don't make a public plea. Watch for workers with a gift for teaching children and ask those workers to teach the Bible lesson or to teach devotions. Don't just have everybody teach it. That's willing. There are some people who just connect with kids and who love studying the lessons. So what we do is we have two men who teach 3rd to 6th grade. They alternate. We have two ladies who teach 3rd to 6th grade girls. And then we have one lady who teaches kindergarten to 2nd. It's consistent. And I told the first group, we use the Answers Bible curriculum. It's a Sunday school lessons from Answers in Genesis, an excellent curriculum. Take time to explain the meanings of the Bible verses. I know this is hard, but take a step back, slow down, make the kids slow down. You probably have some kids who are going to come and they're going to say 15 verses that night or 20 verses, and they're just boom, 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 boom. Try not to let them monopolize every single week. You know, maybe say, hey, you know what? I know you know these. Let's do these after club. And work with some of the kids who are just sitting there doing nothing because you're involved with the other person saying 15 or 20 verses. So you draw every kid, and this is an area we struggle with, where you draw every child in, because you'll have some who they're quiet, they never cause trouble, but they just sit there and they don't say verses. And then they leave. So we don't want that. We want to pull them in and you know, pull them kind of out of their shell so that they learn the verses with them. Remember, God promised his word will not return void in Isaiah 55:11. Study your lessons or handbooks the week before, not just 30 minutes before arriving at church, or not at all, okay? Plant the seed, then keep watering it. What's our job? Plant the seed. Water the seed. Water the seed. Is it my job to make it bear fruit? No. It's the Lord's. And he will. Okay? It's the Holy Spirit's job. See the children that God sends to you, not as a number, but as a soul that needs a Savior. Some of them are going to be harder to love than others, but see them as, if you look at them as a soul that needs a Savior, it will change the way you see them. See the potential, and we talked about this, of future teachers or preachers in your children. Take time to visit your children and meet their parents. If you have someone who has a behavior problem, it would be good. Get a partner and go make a visit. It might open, it not might, it will open your eyes to, wow, I can't believe what this third grader faces every day and the conditions that they live in every single day. It gives you a compassion for them and a desire to reach them, okay, for Christ. Ways to utilize the maximum number of people in your church. I mentioned prayer warriors. Another thing that we do to get prayer and financial support, since we run 4 bus routes, there are a lot of kids who cannot afford the program, the dues, or the fees, or the uniforms, or the handbooks. So we have church members who sponsor a clubber. But I ask them, if they sponsor that clubber, not to just pay the money and forget it. They get a card, and they have the child's name on it, and they pray for them that year. So I know that those children have someone faithfully praying for them. It's excellent. Excellent way of, once again, the older people, sometimes they feel use, they just don't feel of use. And there's 2 ways. Prayer warriors, they can sponsor a clubber. We have, and tomorrow night, we have our father-son snack out. We ask men to adopt a son for the evening. Last week we had our mother-daughter tea, and we had them adopt a daughter for the evening. A lot of our kids, their parents won't come. The whole idea of that is to get their parents into church. But we'll have some who do not have their parents show up. So we pair them up so that they have one-on-one or one-on-one with 2 kids for the evening. So they have a dad or a mom for the evening, and they love it. Okay, so that's another way of getting involved. Chris, at our Christmas store, we have gift wrappers, and we usually have 16 church members come up. Another way to just get people involved, and they see, wow, these kids, I didn't know this was going on in the church, because they're hiding out in the quiet auditorium. Very quickly, some ways, some ideas that I have, and if you want anything to elaborate, I put my email address on the bottom, and you can email me if you have questions or ideas. We started Popcorn in the Park as a way to meet parents. This is the way we kicked off our year this year. Parents came to the park and heard the gospel one more time. And they came to the park. It wasn't church. Sometimes, you know, they aren't going to go to the church building, but they'll come to the park. Then you just keep reaching them and get them into the church. We had a tailgate party with our Grand Prix, so that was our beginning before. So we'd had a bunch of pickup trucks out in the parking lot. I won't tell you the first year it snowed. Okay. Bad timing. We've had mother-daughter tea, father-son snack out, a chance for their parents once again to come. All of these are an opportunity for parents to come. The awards night will serve a meal or dessert, a meal before or dessert afterward. You know, if you offer food to people, and especially if you offer free food to people, they tend to come. So those are some ideas. I wrote down some ways to encourage your workers. If you're in charge of a group of people, you can make anything exciting. All right, we're having game time. Everybody line up. Okay. Oh, wow, the yellow team won. You get 10 points. Oh, man, the yellow team won. You get 10,000 points. 10,000 points. Wow. It's just a one with four zeros after it. I had to count. Sounds a whole lot more exciting. You get 10 points. You get one. Oh, my time is up. Anyway, you can make everything exciting. And I appreciate you coming. If you have ideas, love to have you share them with me. If you have questions, I'll be around afterward. I'll be around tonight. Feel free to ask, all right? I think you have another workshop. Or two.